Welcome to another edition of Royal Examiner Inside the News. Happy to be paired up again with Jerry Miatico, the fire marshal of Warren County. You've been pretty busy. Welcome to you, first of all.
Well, Norma Jean, as always, thank you so very much for having us. And, it looks like we've been busy, and it looks like that trend's gonna continue throughout the end of the week and into the weekend, so.
And today especially, it's cold and windy. That means danger as far as a fireman is concerned.
Yeah, we've had our fingers crossed today, and certainly with the dry conditions and the winds that we have today, the forestry department's already increased the fire danger classification to a class 3 day today. So luckily, we've been relatively lucky with these conditions.
Now let's talk about a few things that people can do to be safe. When it gets really cold, some people have heat pumps, which don't seem to put out a lot of that warm heat that we grew up with. If somebody's going to plug in a space heater, let's talk about the safe things that they can do to make sure they don't create a fire.
Well, let's talk about space heaters in general.
Okay.
The number one rule of thumb with a space heater is that a space heater needs space.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using any type of portable heating device, and even a wood stove, fireplace, all of those heating devices have to have space, a 3-foot clearance from around that heating device or space heater from combustible materials is the general rule of thumb. Outside of that is when you're using that, any type of electrical device, you want to make sure you have that plugged directly into the wall outlet. That heating device draws a lot of electrical current, and it's not suited for an extension cord.
Even a heavy-duty one.
Even a heavy-duty extension cord, a multi-plug adapter, a surge protector, that space heater is designed to go directly into the wall outlet. I recommend put it in a wall outlet dedicated to that space heater. Don't plug anything else into that outlet. That's how much energy it draws through that circuit.
So that's a very good piece of advice. And you might want to train yourself. Get one of those little child safety plugs. If you plug your heater in the top or the bottom plug, then just fill the other plug with one of those little safety plugs.
And we're at a real disadvantage because and certainly in our region, as it gets colder, we approach the holidays, we start plugging in decorations, Christmas lights, and if you're like me, you start to run out of outlets. So you have a very hard decision to make is, do I enjoy my Christmas lights? Do I enjoy my decorations? Or do I have heat in my home? So certainly you gotta be smart when using these appliances, these devices, and absolutely, just safety first is the best thing to do.
Now let's talk about some other types of heating. I know some people use kerosene heaters. What are the safety facts that folks need to know about those?
Well, now we start talking about actually burning fuels. Wood stoves, fireplaces, kerosene heaters, any type of propane, natural gas heaters. The number one thing we have to worry about with those appliances is carbon monoxide poisoning. Carbon monoxide is certainly an odorless, tasteless, invisible gas that without the appropriate detection and warning devices, i.e. a carbon monoxide alarm, you're not going to know if that is actually within the atmosphere before it's too late.
And, you know, it happens every winter when it starts getting this cold, maybe not in our neighborhood, but certainly in the region, you start turning on the radio and the TV and you hear about a family of 4 or 5 and one person might survive and the rest of them die in the night because they don't have a carbon monoxide detector. How expensive or inexpensive are they?
You can get a carbon monoxide alarm and detector for $15, $25.
So they're not too expensive.
Not for what it does.
No.
And that's what I tell people. They're like, oh, I can't afford it. how much is your life worth?
Sure.
And that's one aspect to look at it. And, you know, we wish we had the budgetary funds to provide these. We do all based off of grants, but we don't have any carbon monoxide alarms on the shelf right now.
Sure. But you know what? Here is a great idea. If someone you love is using this type of heat, make it a Christmas present. Make it a Hanukkah present. You would spend $15 to $25 on someone you cared about. So make that a gift.
And it's a long-lasting present. Most of the presents we buy, we get 2-3 years out of it. Our carbon monoxide alarms, our smoke alarms are good for 10 years. If you take $20, that's $2 a year that you're going to invest in potentially saving your families, and your loved one's life.
So that's the equivalent of buying one bottle of soda at a convenience store, spread over the cost.
Can you even get that for $2 anymore?
I don't know. I just go with water. But, you know, we're sending an important message out to folks. You cannot risk your life, the lives of those whom you love, and it doesn't really cost that much.
Well, and you know, and I used we talked about carbon monoxide alarms. We talked about heating the home. I do want to touch base on, in particularly in our area, we have a lot of people burning wood.
Yes.
In the form of a wood stove or a fireplace. And I told you that we've been knocking on wood and our fingers have been crossed for today because we understand how cold it is. We see how windy it is, and the cold, the wind, the dry conditions make for the perfect storm for us to have an outside type fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're as a society, we're not careful or cautious when we dispose of our wood stove and fireplace ashes.
So what is the safe way to do that? And certainly you have to do that to keep using your wood stove.
So what we recommend, Norma Jean, is we recommend to people buy a metal ash bucket with a tight-fitting lid. And that tight-fitting lid is, I'll talk about that key component here in a few seconds, but the metal ash bucket. When you empty your wood stove, your fireplace ashes, put those into the metal ash bucket. Put your tight-fitting lid on it. Carry it outdoors. Me personally, I keep mine in my basement in the protection of my home because I know it's not going to breach the actual container of that metal. Before I let it sit in my wood stove and fireplace for at least 4 hours before I put in the metal bucket.
Okay.
That's what I personally do. Then I leave it in my basement for 4 days. Then I add water. Then I dispose of it.
Okay.
You know, there's, you know, and one of the things that we find is people, they dispose of their ashes. They've been doing it the same way for 20, mm-hmm. 30 years. They've never had a problem, but it only takes that right mixture. The metal ash bucket, what does that do? It allows those ashes to fully cool, but it's still not enough because what happens is that actually provides an insulator for those hot ashes. Once those ashes get down in the middle of that bucket, we take them, we dump them outside into a pile, if that's how you dispose of it. We have these winds today. It's uncovering all that dry, cool ash right off the top. And certainly, you know, is if you take a smoldering a piece of wood and you just apply a little bit of air to it, you're going to have that combustion process take place. And that's what we do. That the wind uncovers that dry, cool ash. We get to the hot stuff in the middle. It now comes in contact with the dry vegetation on the ground, the leaves, and we have some type of outside ground cover fire.
And I'm guessing that in some parts of the country, that is a major way that forest fires become so large.
Well, and even around here.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You know, a large fire for us is something that's going to take a multi-company response.
Mm.
People, oh, well, it's a relatively small outside fire. Well, yes, that's a small outside fire that's drawing responders away from the availability to provide a level of service to you if you were having a heart attack.
Absolutely.
Or a stroke.
Yeah.
Or so with the limited number of people we have, both career and volunteer, and our volunteers are especially busy this time of year, either one, working to support the holiday season, two, spending time with the family during the holiday season. So any emergency that's preventable, that occurs within the community has consequences on the backside, and that's drawing responders away from being available for serious medical type emergencies.
Now, before we close out, I do want to talk about the volunteers and how you're trying to do recruiting, but I want to finish up on fires because it is the holiday season, and I know that people who don't know better tend to do things that really are big no-nos, like shoving used gift wrap from the morning of Christmas or their Hanukkah presents into the wood stove, and that is a terrible, terrible mistake.
Well, yeah, and you know, those, we have to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I, you know, have urged the community to do for the last several years, is anything that you do, understand the safety aspect of what you do. Certainly, gift wrap doesn't burn completely. You know, it clogs up the way to, you know, exhaust our smoke, our hot gases, you know, so there are consequences with that. The other thing that we alluded to earlier was a smoke alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, I now have a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter, and I understand, you know, when they open that present, they want to play with it right now.
Yes.
And as a parent, I've never really, while we've preached the message over the last umpteen years, mm-hmm. is when you buy a toy that requires batteries, don't forget the batteries. Because if I don't buy that battery, where am I going to borrow it from?
True.
If I have an option to borrow a battery out of something in my home, and this is where it's unfortunate, because as a society, I'm going to borrow the battery out of the smoke alarm before I borrow them out of the TV remote control.
That's the logic of the lazy American.
Well, and it, you know, it's a convenience.
Yes.
It's a convenience aspect.
So folks, don't do it. Go buy your batteries and be safe.
And make sure you check your smoke alarm. Make sure it's in good working order. While we don't have carbon monoxide alarms to give away,
mm-hmm.
we have hundreds of smoke alarms. We're willing to install them in your home, provide them free of charge.
So there's no excuse to not have a smoke detector.
Just give us a call, 540-636-3830, or visit us online at warrencountyfire.com.
And you do that as a free service, but let's talk real quickly. We're winding down toward the end of the year. Before too long, we'll have the holidays, and then it's going to be a new year. Tax time will, of course, be coming. And for those folks who are, you know, looking at the end of year, have I given what I want to the charity that I want? A lot of your services are performed by volunteers. All of that equipment is expensive, the training, cost to put fuel in the vehicles. If folks are so inclined to make a donation to the fire department, how would they go about doing that?
Well, certainly, we are in a very expensive business.
Yes.
It is very expensive, to save lives and provide a fire and EMS service to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people in our community already contribute into forms of paying your taxes.
Sure.
So we do appreciate that, because everybody did that over the last month.
Whether you wanted to or not.
Whether you wanted to or not. Unfortunately, that doesn't cover everything.
No.
So we certainly depend on donations coming in to our volunteer stations.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make a monetary donation to your volunteer fire station, all of that information is listed on our website at warrencountyfire.com. They'll certainly accept a monetary donation, which is tax deductible. But if you want to do something above and beyond, donate your time.
There you go.
You know, while money's good, bodies are better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the ability to help provide a level of service to your volunteer fire and EMS organization, whether it be getting on an ambulance, a fire truck, or just helping around the station.
Sure.
Your time is one of the most invaluable things that we can receive. Of course, we'll still take your money.
Money's
but
good, too.
We'll take your time as well.
And, of course, I know everyone's busy, and at certain time frames in your life, you'll have less time because your kids are small. You might be a stay-at-home mom until your kids get to middle school or, well, maybe high school. Who knows? But you might have time at certain times. You need office help at times. If there's a fundraising envelope or mail-out going out, you might need help with that. You can always put a volunteer to work in some capacity.
If you think you have remotely an hour, 2 hours a week to give back to the community, to serve in a fire and EMS organization, and you have a slight interest, I encourage you to contact our recruitment and retention coordinator, Lacey Lancaster, whose information can be found on our website at warrencountyfire.com. She can sit down with you, have a 5-minute conversation, and let you know what the expectations are and find where your fit within the organization is. You know, I'm very lucky, and I tell my story to all the new recruits that come into the system. I started at 15 years of age as a volunteer in our fire and EMS system here in Warren County by accident. I had no desire. I had no inkling to become a firefighter. My brother did. My brother said, hey, come to the firehouse, hang out with us. No way. Not even interested. And he said, well, we can play pool. And I said, well,
Pool.
You got a pool table.
Well,
it's free, free pool. Went to the fire station, hung out with them for an hour. They caught one call, and I watched everybody scramble to get into their firefighter protective equipment, jump on that fire truck, and watch that fire truck leave. And Norma Jean, you know me, you know that I've had the bug ever since.
That's right, and that's how you came to be the fire marshal. We're lucky we are in this county that you got hooked by a game of pool.
Well, and you know, and it's very fortunate it has become my life. I've met my wife through the local fire and EMS organization. I now have two kids with my wife, and you know, my life wouldn't be what it is today without the fire service and the support of the community. So certainly, I'm always looking for ways to give back, and hopefully, you know, if we can attract one person through this conversation to walk in the door of a fire station and say, I want to help, well, certainly come on down.
Well, I have to say, I've known you for a few years now, and your face just lights up when you talk about, you know, helping people or saving folks or how you came to be involved in the career that you have. So I know that it's a labor of love, and that's real important. You must like what it is that you're doing, or it's just not worth doing it. But,
well, you know, the fire and EMS organization, both career, volunteer, we have 9 different stations across our fire and EMS system, and every person you meet will exhibit the same amount of passion as I do. You either love it or you hate it. And luckily, we are able to attract the people who walk in the door and say, I like this, I'm here.
Well, I think everybody really wants to do some helping. And I have to say, I first met you when I took the Citizens Fire Academy in its second year. That's a once-a-year program. It's going very strong. You've had, what, 4 now?
Yeah, I think we're 5. I think we're in 5.
So you do that once a year. And for folks who are interested, that comes up, what, in September?
We'll start advertising around the June, July time frame, and they'll start mid-August.
Okay.
And certainly, hopefully you'll have me back before then we can talk about that at length.
Absolutely. And I've noticed that it's evolving over the years because you really do listen to the input from your students. And you're getting more involved in what they're interested in, and you're explaining more and more. And if you just get a taste of what it's all about, you've had people graduate from the academy, Citizens Academy, and then go on to become volunteers. So it's a win-win.
Knock on wood, yes. We've had somebody enter the fire and rescue system in one capacity or another from every Citizens Fire Academy.
That is awesome.
So certainly it is a good program. We do allow the students to more so create the syllabus based off of the questions and feedback we receive from them. So I enjoy doing it. It's a 7-week program, 1 day a week, 3 hours a day for 7 weeks, and you really get an in-depth look at our citizen, of our fire and rescue system, both from the citizen standpoint, but also from the fire and EMS standpoint.
It's completely fascinating. It's free,
it
is so darned interesting. You really will learn a lot throughout the course, and there's a fine graduation ceremony and dinner at the end. So you get to hang out with Jerry too, so there is that.
Well, that's the best benefit of it all.
It was for me at least.
Well, there you go.
Jerry, thank you so much. I'm wishing you happy holidays to you and your family. You got those cute little kiddos, and we know how busy you are, so thanks for stopping in today, and we certainly will have you back again.
As always, we appreciate it, and thanks for having us. Everybody be safe, and Merry Christmas.